Barakum in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one true God, forever and ever. Amen. Today, this morning, as we heard from the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 56. And as if we pay attention to all the different Bible readings or in the Gospel readings that we've been hearing these last few Sundays, and paying attention to all the things that are going around now that it is the time of Christmas, we recognize that this is the season and the time that we are now reflecting and meditating upon the birth of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But we know that before that he is born into this world, different things had to happen before his coming into this earth. And as we've been hearing the last few Sundays, we see the message of the angel Gabriel given to Zacharias about the birth of his son to Elizabeth, St. John the Baptist, who would be the forerunner of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then last Sunday, we heard the passage of when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and announced to her and revealed to all the world the great news that our Savior is coming down and descending upon her into her womb so that all of mankind can be saved. And that our salvation has come at hand with the conception of our Savior, Jesus Christ, coming to the womb of our Holy Mother, Saint Mary. And as we come to this Sunday, we see that Saint Mary, after receiving this great news, this gospel of receiving our Lord and our God into her womb, she now goes to see her cousin Elizabeth. Because during the announcement that was given to her, that annunciation, the angel Gabriel told to her that even now in your cousin Elizabeth, even in her old age, she is going to bear a child. And that was a response to Mary when she asked, how can it be that her being a virgin will conceive of a son? And one of the signs that the Savior is coming is that the birth or the conception of the forerunner has already begun. And so that Saint Mary knew then the time has come that the Lord is going to come down and to save us. And so she was able to say, I am the handmaiden of the Lord, or the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be done as you will. And so then after she receives that message, as we heard today, she goes to her cousin's house. She goes to Judah to see her cousin, to see the her old aunt or her old cousin bearing now a son, even in her old age, to rejoice and to be glad at the great news that our God is coming and that even her cousin is now with child. And as we heard also in today's passage, the great Magnificat, or the praise of St. Mary, when she praises and magnifies the Lord our Savior. And it's a great prayer of our church. And all these things are happening during this time. So many great layers of meaning and depth we are hearing in today's Gospel passes and this season. But there's a few things that I want us to think about and to meditate upon as we're preparing ourselves to partake of the Holy Qurbana and as we're preparing ourselves to celebrate the great feast of the incarnation of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Today, when we look at the lectionary on our church calendar, in addition to being the visit of Saint Mary to Elizabeth, we also dedicate this day as Ladies' Day or Women's Day because we commemorate these two great saints of our church, Saints Mary and Elizabeth. Both women are given the great grace by our God to bear great men of faith. Saint John being the greatest of all men, and Saint Mary bearing our God and Savior, the God incarnate, our Savior Jesus Christ. But these women weren't chosen just because God just needed two women to bear men, because that's how it is biologically done. Only women can bear children. He didn't just randomly look down from the heavens and we think he said, you know what, I'm going to pick this old lady and I'm going to pick this young girl to be women who bear the people that I need to be on this earth. It wasn't such just a random act of kindness or grace that God had chosen these women. When we look into their lives and we look to what we see that has been heard in these gospel passages even today, we see that these are women who truly understood by the grace of God, and through their own devotion to God himself, that they knew what their calling was, which was to serve the Lord. As we heard two Sundays back about the Annunciation of St. John the Baptist to Zacharias and to Elizabeth. We see that after that announcement was given and after Zacharias is made mute and dumb, you know, he can't hear and can't talk, we see that it refers two verses about Saint Elizabeth. It says that after Zacharias had come, they found her to be with child. And it says for 5 months, she went away in solitude. Because, this great news of her being in her old age to bear a son, how can it be, you know, that understanding that deep of what it means that God has chosen her in this old age to be a mother? She didn't try and go and rejoice and tell people, oh, I'm pregnant, and running around and sending announcements and all these things. When this great message of God himself came to her, her first reaction was to go into solitude and to reflect and to understand God's plan for her and for her son. Many times when many great things are happening to us, or when blessings come into our lives, the first thing we do is we rejoice in God, we have celebrations and parties and all these things. But many times we forget to take that extra care to think about, what does this blessing mean in my life? What does it reflect of God in me to receive this great blessing? And we see this great quality in Saint Elizabeth. Receiving this great grace to be the mother of the forerunner of our Savior, she went into solitude and to prayer and to meditation for 5 months. Can we imagine? For 5 months, you know, we know also being pregnant is not an easy thing. That she needs to, you know, have all the morning sickness and this change in her body to bear a son. But at the same time, instead of rejoicing, doing all those great, you know, those things of happiness and having bridal parties and baby showers and parties, she went and looked into the scriptures and looked into her own life and looked into reflecting to God. And that's something, a great call that we need to do, especially during this time that now we are beginning the Lenten season for the birth of our Savior. That these 25 days are not just to celebrate and have caroling and just rejoice so greatly all these 25 days, but we look to Saint Elizabeth and see a woman who during this great time of blessing used that time for meditation and to prayer and to reflect of God's blessing to her. And that's a quality that we see in this great woman saint of our church, that she was able to receive that blessing and to look into herself, what it means for her and for her family, especially for her son. Because as you see, as this the other saint of our church, Saint Mary, comes to visit her and to rejoice with her at the sixth month, after these 5 months of prayer and meditation, when Saint Mary comes to her, we see that Saint Elizabeth was able to receive the Holy Spirit and to rejoice in God my Savior, that he has come to me. Without the time of reflection and without the time of prayer, we can't imagine that Saint Elizabeth would be able to recognize so quickly that Saint Mary, when she was coming to her, was bearing the Son of God. And it says that because of her time of reflection, that her son itself in Saint Elizabeth's womb, Saint John the Baptist, was able to be filled with the Holy Spirit because Saint Elizabeth had made her body, her temple, a place that the Holy Spirit can come down and reside in her, so that her son, that her child can receive the Holy Spirit and to also rejoice when God came to her. That's something that all of us have to reflect in our lives and look to Saint Elizabeth to reflect, to have that quality in us. And that's something that we're being taught during this Sunday and during this time of fasting and prayer, that we need to use this time wisely, that we need to use this time in wisdom so that we can also rejoice and reflect, and to know when God is coming to us. Because we know that every year Christmas is coming, December 25th, all of us know it, all of our children, we all know we're waiting for our gifts, right? We're waiting for all the presents, we're waiting for all the Christmas parties, we're waiting for the semester to end and have our long Christmas break. All these outward things we're waiting for during this time of Christmas. All these great, the caroling is such a great joyous time. Yesterday I got to go with the carolers yesterday, and it was a great time of rejoicing and celebrating. We can go and visit all of our houses, which is a good thing. I'm not saying these are bad things. But many times we forget that this time where our rejoicing is to be able to receive that blessing that comes on that December 25th. When we come to celebrate the feast of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we come for the service of the fire service of Christmas that we're reflecting, like with all the other angels and the shepherds and the wise men, revolving and, you know, going around the holy fire, representing Christ himself, how we can't imagine how God himself is coming down from heaven and residing with us. That great miracle and mystery, we can only represent with fire. Because we know that when we come to the Christmas service and we get to see the fire, and we remember God has come down to us, we remember how we feel and we receive God. Because, you know, I know here in here it's not as easy to go outside and have a big fire like they do in India or back, you know, in Texas. We have big fires. Here's just a small little fire. But if you get close to a big bonfire, we can imagine. Well, then when there's a flame around us, we can feel two things. We can feel heat and warmth. And we can see the fire. We can see the light and we can feel that energy of that heat and that warmth. And we have to reflect, what does that mean to us? That God has come down to us. We can receive that love and that care coming into our bodies and into our souls. And our church fathers, in a beautiful service, has used this fire to remind us that God has come down to us as a burning flame, coming down to us and providing us light and warmth in this time of darkness and of cold, to remind us that God comes down to us and to bless us. But we can't understand that, or we can't be able to really, truly comprehend what that means to us, of what it means to change in us, if we're not doing our part in reflecting in prayer, like Saint Elizabeth did. And like all the other saints have done before us. This is the time that we're being reminded and being called. We need to prepare our bodies and our souls for the coming of our Lord, just as Saint Elizabeth did, and just as Saint Mary did. Because as we also hear the second half of today's passage, Mary is able to give one of the greatest prayers to God, to God Almighty. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. We are called to be able to sing with Saint Mary this prayer. But we know many times we are suffering. Many times we are in despair. Many times we are in darkness. As we look into our own families and into our own personal lives, we see very much stress. We see, you know, disharmony or, you know, lack of unity within our families, with husbands and wives, with children, with our churches, with loved ones, with communities. We see all these things going around us on a daily basis, at our workplaces, wherever we go. And we're not able to rejoice as Saint Mary did. My soul magnifies the Lord. We don't get that experience on a daily basis in our hearts. And we have to think to ourselves, why are we not having this? And we have to think to ourselves, what are these great saints doing? What are these two great women saints are doing in their lives? And we see just very simple things, things that we have always been taught from the time of Sunday school until now, to our old age. Prayer, humility, and submission to God. Because we see these great qualities in these great women saints, that they submitted completely to God himself, and that because of this, they are able to receive and to rejoice in the blessing of God Almighty. And if we, as brothers and sisters and members of the Holy Church, want to partake in that blessing as the saints did before us, we have to follow their example and follow the example of these great women saints. Not because they're in the Bible only, and not because we're just told to remember them, but because when we look at their lives, see how their bodies and their souls had glorified God, we should be rejoicing, looking to follow their example through their life. Because today, you know, when the church, you know, writes the lectionary, you know, today is also a kind of a controversial day for the women, because as you heard today, the two epistles are about women to be quiet, not to talk, not to do anything, they respect their husbands. And we, you know, men will be very quick to say, see, women, you should just sit down and don't do anything. But we have to look, and we have to see that when we look at the lives of these two great saints, they did not have to talk, they did not have to do anything except live their lives in glory to God. And their life itself was a witness for speaking. That when we as men look at these two great women saints, they did not need to speak to us, but we just look to their lives and to know that they glorify God through their life of dedication and humility. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, and especially the women, when it's telling in the Bible, for all of us, I should say, you know, women not to speak, it's not to say not to speak, you know, just, you know, and be quiet and don't do anything, but it's to remind us, and to actually all the men as well, that we are called to speak with our actions and not just with our words. That we know that through our lives in Christ, they are more greater than just walking and standing and preaching and just trying to show people that we know something. It's more greater to show the life of Christ in our lives. And that is a great thing that we should all be striving for. That's something that all of us, both men and women, children, all of us should be reflecting in our lives so that we can truly rejoice as St. Elizabeth and St. Mary did on this day. We remember 2,000 years ago. That they can say and rejoice that their souls are magnifying the Lord in God our Savior who's come down to us. If we want to have that same faith and have that same blessing and that same life in Christ, we should follow their example. Not because of what they said, because what they say is so great as well that we should reflect on, but we should look at what they did and to lead us to be able to say with them and to sing with them and to rejoice with them, my soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Let us always have that in our hearts so that we can be like them and rejoice with them always, now and forever. Amen.